For Brooks Lopez, and Greg alluded to his effort last night, his 28 points, do they have enough to push this to a seventh or fifth, sixth game, even a seventh game?
Yeah, well, you know, guys, Chicago's a team that nobody wants to see. They're that, back in my day, I guess when boxing was king, they're that left-handed, they're that southpaw boxer that, you know, that's ranked in the middle of the pack that you never wanted to fight, because if you were the number one ranked contender or a guy looking or holding the title, they could knock you off. And Chicago plays defense. Defense travels. And I don't think they're a team that anybody wants to play, healthy or not. I mean, they'd be very different with Derrick Rose, but they just grind you. It's just the way they play. It's similar to, you know, Memphis in the West. They just play that old fashion basketball, that old school style, and they're very difficult to beat.
A lot of great debate about where OKC can go without Westbrook, Paul. It hasn't stopped Kevin Durant from scoring. Not much would, but clearly when they run into a San Antonio, even if they run into a Golden State who's shooting the lights out, it's trouble for Oklahoma City. They're a lot more damaged team without him.
You know, guys, I thought that they kind of, quote, damaged the team, Greg, when they made the James Harden trade, because he was such a playmaker for them. And now, as much as Westbrook was learning that and learning to try and become that and doing a better job, now he's out. Now, I was surprised at the end of the game last night that I didn't see more of Kevin Martin. And again, he's a guy that, you know, they got in the Harden trade. He can score, but in the playoffs, it's about making plays, you know, especially in the NBA where people have your plays scouted and they know what you're going to run as well as you do. You know, you call a play and they know everything that's coming. They know every option. So it's about making plays. And I don't know if Oklahoma City has enough playmakers in that case, although it's going to be great and intriguing to watch to see if they can get to the Western Conference Finals.
Paul, when Golden State lost David Lee, did you foresee them having this kind of success in the postseason against Denver?
Jimmy, I had Denver winning that series in six or seven. I just thought the way they played and their bench depth, devoid of a star. Now, I thought it hurt losing Gallinari, but I thought the style of play that they had, they could overcome that. And I got to tell you right now, Steph Curry's cooking with some really hot grease, man. It is, the burner is on high and it's on the front burner and the grease is hot. And he's the guy that's leading that team. And Golden State's bench, you talk about former Raptors, Greg, how about Jarrett Jack?
Yeah.
He's playing terrifically for that team, a veteran guy. And, you know, another former Raptor, their coach, Mark Jackson. And I sat and chatted with him when we were out there to watch the Raptors play Golden State. And we talked about a lot of stuff off the record. And the one thing he did say on the record was, I got guys who love to play this year. You know, we practice at 10. I got guys in there at 8:30, and they're together. And, you know, we talk about chemistry. Golden State has it right now. And, what, there's been 8-3-1 comebacks in NBA history. I'm not so sure we're going to see another one in either Brooklyn or Denver on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, all the heat's on the Bulls now. Yeah. All the pressure's on the Bulls in Chicago for Game 6. Before we get to Jason Collins, let's ask you about the Lakers. The forecast for us, first the next 4 months, what they do, Kobe's injury, Dwight Howard, Pau Gasol, but also Nash. Nash has two more years left on his deal. He was obviously just a broken player physically at the end of the season, and nobody wants to see it end that way for a guy that's so dynamic. But his contract's another 2 years. He'll be 40 and a half when it's over. I don't know how Mitch Kupchak views now bringing Steve Nash there in retrospect and what the next 2 years will be like. But they have so many. They could do nothing or they could do everything this summer.
Guys, they got it wrong right from the start. I just came off a little vacation with my wife and caught up on books, reading, you know, NBA-like books that guys have written. I read Shaq's book, Uncut. It's a year old, but it was sitting on my shelf. And it was interesting the way he talked about Kobe in the book. And in retrospect, those pieces fit together. Kobe's a guy that's going to do it his way. And you would think you get Dwight Howard in there, who is at least as good, if not better, than Andrew Bynum. And now you got Steve Nash in there. You know, what went wrong? Well, you needed a guy like Phil Jackson to convince Kobe to play a certain way or be strong enough to handle him. Devoid of that, Mike Brown was a pretty good defensive coach. They'll figure out the offense. I just think Laker management panicked.
They did.
And they brought in Mike D'Antoni. And, guys, you still had a dominant center. He didn't touch the ball a lot. They were still playing, you know, a style that, that he didn't fit into. Rather than try to fit square pegs into round holes, you know, get a new board. Get a new board where the pegs fit. And Mike D'Antoni was unwilling to do that. I think that's the biggest thing the Raptors have going for them now with Valanciunas developing. You can play conventional old-school basketball inside out where nobody does that in the league anymore because there was a dearth of big men. Well, when you have one, use them the proper way. And I think teams that can do that, it's going to be a real windfall for them. It really, really is.
Paul Jones joining us on Brady and Lang, Raptors play-by-play voice right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On Jason Collins, let's forget about the significance, I suppose, of the announcement and look from a practicality perspective for an NBA GM. You bring him in, it's positive attention. People will say you're blazing a trail, same as they'll say about Jason Collins. If it doesn't work, there's huge pressure, isn't there, to if you cut the player and say it's not working out and it got a lot of attention in training camp. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what a team does here that decides they want him in. And I don't know. We don't know yet enough about Collins and how bad his desire is to keep his career going, really, at this point.
Greg, I think it comes down to, and look, in all walks of society right now, there's diversity in everything, in race, in sexual orientation, in creed, in color. Like, and so this is not a big deal. It is, but it isn't in the NBA. And I've been on teams with, you know, from the time I was in the sixth grade with kids that were different from me, you know, whether it be not speaking the same language, and you learn to accept diversity. You really do. And I know from being a principal running a school, there's all kinds in there, and you've got to respect that. And I know it's become one of the character words here in York Region District School Board, inclusiveness. So that part of it doesn't shock me, and it doesn't open my eyes at all. It's the other side. It's like when Magic came out and said he had HIV. Everybody went, whoa, the fear of the unknown. And it seems like that's the thing that you're going to be watching now, the reaction. As for a general manager, look, Rick Welts is the president in Golden State, and he came out. He's openly gay. Mm-hmm. Well, what does it matter if the guy can do the job? And I know this from, as I said, from playing. If a guy can play, a guy can play. I really don't care what he does in his private life. I mean, we had this all the time in schools. I mean, I know I got teachers back there at the curling club knocking back double scotches every night. It's okay. Get up, come in, do your job in the morning, and we won't have a problem with it. So for an NBA GM, I think you have to apply the same tact. If he doesn't fit in terms of your team makeup and he's not good enough to play, then you almost have to throw the stuff aside. And,
yeah,
you know, when you bring him in, though, if you think he's going to make it and he can play, then you're right. Then you're taking a chance if you thought, well, I thought he could play, but...
Yeah, I guess my point is, if he's not, it's such a different paradigm shift with talking about Tim Tebow, but the Jets look like idiots because they brought him in, said they were going to do something with him, didn't do it, they weren't fair to the player, and they're perceived as being, you know, bringing him in for marketing, but having no utilization sense of how to work him on the football field. And he can't throw. Also.
Yeah, I'll say this, fellas. Big men in basketball, like Jason Collins, been around 12 years, they're like left-hand pitchers in baseball. They never die. They go to another team. Everybody says, well, I can use that guy. And I think he's gonna play somewhere next year. It'll be, like you said, publicity for that team. And I think there's some attitudes from the people that don't have the, you know, the full acceptance of, you know, diversity and inclusiveness. I think those are the people that are going to struggle with it, not Jason Collins anymore.